School Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Manological Podcast. Coming up on this week's episode, we have our off-script feature where we discuss the recent news regarding alterations made to the language used in Roald Dahl's books. We hear about our house values at Manalodge and a recent DT project in Year 6. We also have an interesting feature on paradoxes, a rundown of the richest people in the world, the top Premier League goal scorers, things to do in Kenya, and some cool 3D pen crafts as well. Plus, our teacher interview this week is with our languages teacher here at Manalodge, Madame Law. We begin with off-script, where I chat conversationally with our Year 6 podcasters about a topic that piques our interest. This week I'm joined by James, Lachlan and Obba to talk about how some changes have been made to the wording used in the classic works of popular children's author Roald Dahl, as some words and phrases have been deemed offensive. So boys, what are your thoughts on this story?
In my opinion, Roald Dahl's censorship is, kind of stupid. In the tweet, they've censored a weird African language, which is probably one of the most reasonable changes. But again, I am African, and I don't really find this offensive. And then there's also another one in the BFG, which is also one of the most reasonable because they changed it. Mary in the BFG is now still in as a statue instead of white as a sheet, which is fairer than others. But then they also, in the same book, the BFG's coat is no longer black. The threat to knock her flat in Matilda has become give her a right talking to, and the words crazy and mad have been removed. All this stuff is to, like, emphasize the point the characters Roald Dahl is trying to tell. It's supposed to emphasize the story. What reason? Because someone has a black coat, how is that offensive to actually anyone? My friend James is currently wearing a black coat. How is that offensive, in my opinion?
Yeah, I agree with Alpha. It's just to, like, show how these people are. Because if, for instance, you could call Mr. Twit, for instance, crazy and mad, because he just, like, does a bit absurd things. But I use them in creative writing, and no one finds them particularly offensive, so I don't really know why these should be changing.
Yes?
I think lots of these words are used outside his books, so why do they need to be changed just in his books if they're not going to change it outside? Because I think in their books that he's written, they shouldn't be able to change what he wrote because he's written them himself and spent lots of time on them.
And in my personal opinion, it feels like a waste of censorship. We live in a day and age where people can get offended by absolutely everything. And there are some actual things that deserve to be censored that have not been. There are many old movies that can be racist and sexist, and yet we still keep those around. But we can't call Mrs. Twit ugly for some reason. It just feels like we've taken censorship so far that some of the things that deserve to be censored the most are being ignored, and some of the things that need to be censored the least are being the ones that are way overly censored.
Okay, very good point, boys. I think it's pretty unanimous on your feeling here towards this idea. But what I want you to maybe consider, could you put yourself in somebody else's position that might see it differently? Do you think if you had suffered from mental health problems, whether you might find the words crazy and mad to be offensive in a book that you're reading? If you were a young child reading a Roald Dahl book and one of your parents had suffered some mental unhealth, whether you might find those words hard to read?
Yeah, I get how in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Augustus Gloop is described as fat. Because, like, if you're reading it and you feel that you are the same, you'll be offended. I get that, but just some of them really need to be changed? Like, Mrs. Twit, does that really need to be changed? And Matilda knock her flat? Does that really need to be changed?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think some people may well be more offended by these things than others. I think, Obam, you make a good point. Lots of people can get very easily offended by all sorts of things. And it's very difficult to tell people how they should feel, how things make them feel. So some people might feel offended by these things, where you might see it as quite surprising that they'd be offended by it.
Yeah, like, for example, my mum says, in work, she's works at part in the NHS. She is a doctor, and she's not allowed to say, oh my God, because certain people will be offended of the notion that she believes in God. It's just, I feel like people nowadays feel like everything that is they don't agree with needs to be censored because it's politically incorrect for some reason. And like, Augustus Gloop being called fat, the threat to Matilda calling knock her flat, it's to emphasize that her parents are horrible people. Mm-hmm. And it's not, and crazy and mad, these are not just people who are slightly, these are actual crazy people. These are people who are actually threatening to kill children and put them, and these words are definitely, you know, able to be used here. Like, the witches. Like, yes, the witches are crazy. They're mad. They want to kill every single child. This is the type of thing that is actually, this is the type of thing that actually needs to use the words crazy and mad. It needs to emphasize that these people are mentally unwell, because they are not. Even if you have been mentally unwell in the past, I do apologize, and I do feel like that is important. But at the same time, if you have been mentally unwell, I doubt you'd be reading a Roald Dahl book.
Yeah, quite possibly, but who knows? So yeah, some really clear views in there from you boys, and a really interesting topic, and one that has wider relevance to lots of other literature and art that people might feel ought to be censored. It's fascinating, I think, how language evolves and the impact that it can have. And yeah, be interesting to see, you know, how vocabulary that we use might continue to develop over the years ahead. You know, what words might increase in their use, which might become less acceptable or sort of phased out of fashion. But yeah, an interesting topic. But we'll probably need to leave it there for this week. But I do think it is a valuable reminder of the power that words have. You know, we need to be mindful of the vocabulary we choose and the impact that they can have on others. So yeah, very interesting points raised, boys. Thanks very much for your input. We'll speak again next time.
Thank you.
Next up, here's Fiore in Year 3 to tell us about the house values we recognise here at Manor Lodge.
Hi, my name is Fiore. Today I'm going to be talking about our house values. We have 6 house values, one for each half term. In the autumn term, our house values are responsibility and originality. In the summer term, effort and respect are our house values. Last half term, we had curiosity as our value. And our house value for this half term is kindness. When you're curious, you're eager to learn. You want to know more. I'm curious and I hope you are too. Kindness is when you're nice to one another. There's a saying that goes, treat others how you want to be treated. That's also part of kindness. In Manor Lodge, whoever showed the house value the most in the half term will get a house hero cape. One for infants and one for juniors. I hope you are always kind and curious. Thank you for listening to my part of the podcast. I hope you enjoyed it.
We hear again now from James and Lachlan in Year 6, who recently enjoyed their recent project in DT.
Hello and welcome to our section of the podcast, where today we'll be telling you all you need to know about the recent F1 car project in DT.
We've been making and designing our cars from a basic card net.
Once we had made adjustments, we then tested it using a launcher, which uses compressed gas pumped up by a bicycle pump to fire them across the ground.
If there was anything wrong with the car, then we had to make an adjustment. For instance, we could add paper to make them more aerodynamic, or we could rip paper off.
Next, we had the qualifying rounds, where your car had to hit the wall, which was quite difficult.
We both qualified for the finals and are going back for more racing.
This experience was really fun, and I hope to do lots more like it.
Thank you, Mr. Coggan, for all your help.
Thanks for listening to our part of the podcast. Bye.
Harley in Year 4 has been doing some research too. He's found out about the top goal scorers in the history of the Premier League.
Hello, my name is Harley, and today I'll be talking about the top 5 best goal scorers of the history of the Premier League. Number 1, Alan Shearer. Alan Shearer scored 260 goals for Southampton, Blackburn Rovers and Newcastle United. Number 2, Wayne Rooney. He scored 208 goals for Everton and Manchester United. Number 3, Harry Kane. At the time of his recording, Harry Kane has scored 200 Premier League goals for Tottenham. Number 4, Andrew Cole. Andrew Cole scored 187 goals for Manchester United, Newcastle, Fulham and Manchester City. And finally, Sergio Aguero. Aguero scored 184 Premier League goals for Man City, including the famous league-winning goal in 2012. Thank you for listening.
Sienna in Year 3 is here next to talk us through some of the must-dos in the beautiful country of Kenya.
Hi, my name is Sienna, and welcome to the Manilod School Podcast. Today, I am going to tell you about the top 5 things to do in Kenya. Now, let's get started. Number 1, go on a safari in Masai Mara and watch for the big 5, lion, buffalo, elephant, rhino. Number 2, go to the beach. There are a few beautiful places that you can go to. Mombasa, Watamu, Lamu. My favourite is Watamu because of the white sandy beach and the warm water. Number 3, go to Daphne Sheldrick's Elephant Orphanage and help look after the elephants and feed the elephants who have lost their homes. Number 4, go to Giraffe Centre. Here you can feed the giraffes and even have breakfast with them. But watch out for the big one, he sometimes headbutts. Number 5. Go and see the equator by Mount Kenya. It's a beautiful landscape and you can walk right across the middle of the planet. And these are the top 5 things to do in Kenya. I hope you enjoyed my part of the podcast.
Next we have Oba to befuddle and bemuse us with his feature on paradoxes.
Hello and welcome. Today I'm going to tell you about paradoxes. They're like impossible questions to answer. Alright, here's one that will really confuse you. John steals Sam's sweets. John will give them back if Sam can guess correctly whether or not he will actually return the sweets. There's no problem if Sam guesses that John will return them. If he's right, they're returned. If he's wrong, John keeps them. If he answers that John will not return them, however, then we end up with a paradox. If he's right, and John never wanted to return the sweets, then John has to return them, but in doing so, breaks his word and contradicts Sam's answer. On the other hand, if he's wrong, and John actually did want to return the sweets, John must keep them, even though he didn't want to, so he's also breaking his word. That confused you, I bet. Time-travelling paradoxes are cool too. We all know the grandfather paradox, but what about this one? A time traveller sees a book by a famous author and loves the story. So he goes back in time before the book was written. He tells the author the story and the not yet author publishes it. The book ends up in the same library you found it, so in the present, a time traveller sees a book by a famous author and loves the story. So he goes back in time before the book was written. He tells the author the story and the not yet author publishes it. The book ends up in the same library he found it. And so in the present, a time traveller, yada, 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 you get the point. Who wrote the book? And finally, a twist on the iconic this sentence is false paradox. Imagine Pinocchio says, my nose grows longer now. If he's telling the truth, then his nose should grow longer, like he said. But his nose only grows longer when he tells a lie. So if his nose does grow longer, that means he's telling a lie, but he told the truth because his nose grew longer. Hope I hope you guys enjoyed my paradox section. Bye!
Now we hear from Karen and Erin in Year 3 who have looked into some cool 3D pen crafts.
Hey guys, I'm Erin.
And I'm Karen.
Hi!
Today we're going to talk to you about cool 3D pen crafts
that you can try at home.
Number one, if you want to have fake nails and your parents won't let you, here's how to do it. First, cut out a nail shape from some duct tape. Colour the shape in with a 3D pen, press down on it and stick it on your nail.
Number two, if you have a dress with a hole in it, use a 3D pen to do a design on the hole. And hey presto, if you want, you can put more than one design, like 10 designs.
Number three, if you want a cool watermelon fan, here's how to do it. First, draw a watermelon shape, punch a hole in it and draw more shapes. Attach them with a ring and there you go. What a nice fan.
Number four, do you need a key ring? Well, here's how you do it. First, if you have one, get a jigsaw piece. Colour it in with a 3D pen and do your first initial.
If it were me, it would be E.
If it were me, it would be K.
Number five, want a cool earpiece? Well, here's how to make it. First, use a statue of a head and draw a semicircle with leaves on it and place it on your ear.
We hope you enjoyed our part of the podcast. Bye!
Next, we have Hugo from Year 3 to run down the top 10 richest people in the world.
Hi, I'm Hugo, and today I'm going to be talking about the top 10 richest people in the world. Number 1, Bernd Alden and family, $193 billion. His net worth is $193 billion, resulting from his business across an empire for more than 70 brands, including Louis Vuitton and Sephora. Number 2, Elon Musk, $174 billion. Elon Musk is working to revolutionize transportation, both on Earth through electric car maker Tesla and in space via rocket producer SpaceX. Number 3, Jeff Bezos, $136 billion. Amazon founder of CEO Jeff Bezos has a net worth of $136 billion and ranks as the third richest person on Earth. Number four, Bill Gates, $115 billion. The co-founder of Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, Bill Gates has a net worth of $115 billion. Number 5, Warren Buffett, $108 billion, probably known as the Oracle of Omaha. Warren Buffett is seen as one of the most successful investors of all time. Number 6, Larry Ellison, $102 billion. Larry Ellison has a net worth of $102 billion, which he earned from Oracle, the software firm he co-founded in 1977. Number 7, Larry Page, $98.4 billion. Larry Page is co-founder of Google as the net worth of $98.4 billion ranks in the ninth position among the world's richest people. Number 8, Surgeon Brin, $94.6 billion. The co-founder and board member of the Alphabet Surgery, Brin has a net worth of $94.6 billion, which places him in the ninth position among the richest people in the world. Number 9, Steve Ballmer, $86.3 billion. Steve Ballmer joined Marcus in 1980 after Bill Gates convinced him to drop out of Stanford's University MBA program. Number 10, Carl Slim, $84.2 billion. Carl Slim controls the American Moving, the biggest mobile telecom firm in Latin America. His net worth is $84.2 billion, and he also owns the stakes in New York Times as the comical blanks. Though his family's invested vehicle he has also invested in Mexican constructory injuries. Thank you for listening to my part of the podcast. Bye.
It's time now for our teacher interview this week. Harry and George in Year 4 grab some time with our French and Spanish teacher, Madame Law, to put some questions to her.
Hello, my name is George.
And my name is Harry.
And today we are interviewing Madame Law, Manilodge's French teacher and school council leader.
Question number one, what school did you go to?
I went to a school in France near my hometown. It was a really small school. There was only about 30 children per year. And I went there from the age of 11 till 16.
Question two, where were you born? Were you born in France?
Yes, I was born in France, the northeast of France, a long time ago.
Did you follow a sport?
Yes, I used to play badminton.
What was your team?
Oh, it was just my university team. We used to play badminton in my year, but we didn't compete very, very much. But it was a really enjoyable time.
What was your dream job when you were a kid?
I wanted to be a teacher, actually. I never wanted to leave school.
Question five, why did you want to be a teacher?
I suppose I really liked school and I knew that there was never a day that was the same. Every day that something is happening in the school and I see different people, different children, and there's always something going on. So I knew it was never going to be boring for me.
Why did you choose to teach at this school?
I had heard very, very good thing about the school and I know that French was important. And now we even do Spanish as well as French. And I had met Mr. Don and other teachers and everybody was very friendly and the atmosphere was very good. Very good working environment.
Question number seven. Why did you choose to be the school council leader?
I suppose for me, I think it was important to learn about the political system in England because it was very different from France. Mm-hmm. And I also wanted to help everybody to understand how hard it is to do politics and to decide and to make decisions for everybody else and to listen to everybody. And not everybody is always happy, which makes it quite difficult to please everybody. So that was a thing that I really wanted to pass on to everybody in school.
Yeah. If you could do your dream job, what would you do now?
I think I would still be a teacher. I really enjoyed my time.
Now, question number nine. In international sport cups, do you support France or England?
Well, I would say for rugby, I support France and they're doing extremely well. For football, England. And yeah, no other sport really. But for France, usually for rugby, yes. I now follow a bit more rugby. And my hometown in England has a rugby club and I go there sometimes and I'm interested in rugby. So I would say for France, for rugby and England for football.
Thank you for letting us interview you. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you, Madame Law. Thank you, boys. And thank you, boys, as well, for your music this week, too, because our intro music this week was created on Incredibox by George in Year 4. And we finish off with Harry from Year 4 as well, playing the classic Feeling Good on the piano.